Hello and welcome to The Squeal, PIC Swine Management Podcast, featuring in-depth conversations on topics that matter to you. PIC is the global leader in swine genetics. At PIC, our goal is to make our customers the most successful pig producers by providing them with the best genetics. We know our business success depends on yours. The topic is reproductive success as we wrap up a three-part series today looking at gaining and maintaining profitable farrowing rates. And the popular Q&A session with our guest, Tosh Farms, Jose Santiago.
My name is Jose Santiago. I work for Tosh Farms. I'm one of the sow production managers. One of my roles in our system is help our system reach our goals.
And PIC, Sergio Cannavati.
My name is Sergio Cannavati. I'm originally from Spain. I'm based here in North America and I'm working in PIC reproduction team.
And Karina Veer.
This is Karina Veer. I'm a swine nutritionist with PIC and I provide technical support to our customers globally.
Are all 90% farrowing rate equal from an economic standpoint? So even if I hit this mark, is it going to be right for my bottom line?
No, not all 90% farrow rates are the same. You have to look at what is your 90% farrow rate. It goes back to, you got to look at your cost, your efficiency, your consistency. Okay, let's say you have a 90% farrow rate, but is your non-productive days, is it per sow a 30-day? Is it a 60-day? When are you losing those animals to get your 90% farrow rate is a very impactful cost to your farm. You can have a 90% farrow rate and 60, 70-day non-productive days or return days or whatever, and that's costing you a lot. So you got to look at them different, in my opinion.
Yeah, that's a great question and that's a great answer from Jose. You know, it is important to consider even farms that they are doing great. We say 90%, but could be 91 or could be 92, right? And say, well, they don't need help. They already got it. You know, those are things that we need to look at. The reproduction team, PSC, developed a tool that the name of the tool is ReproTool. What that tool do is analyze all the fallouts that happen, all reproductive failures, and how it's going to be that distribution along the gestation period, and analyze also what is the distribution by parity, but also is making an economical analysis based on the non-productive days for each reproductive failure. So you could have a 90% farrowing rate, but your main offenders are the fallouts in late gestation. So it's time that you are pulling out one animal that is not pregnant, is costing you 107 days, 100 days.
Or an animal that dies in late gestation.
Or animal who dies, right? Compared with the other one that is happening early gestation, right? Even in those scenarios that they are having a good farrowing rate, 92% farrowing rate, it is something that we need to look at. And also the other perspective is, we could have 92% farrowing rate, but being short on breedings and being short on farrowings, right? So sometimes farrowing rate need to be associated with the breeding target achievement. And because we could have 95% farrowing rate, but being short 15 matings or being short 20 matings or being short more than that, right? It's not only farrowing rate. It's the combination of breeding target achievement, efficiency as a farrowing rate, and the cost based on reproductive failures and when those reproductive failures happen, right? In early gestation, mid gestation, or late gestation, as Jose mentioned, based on non-productive days.
Yes, that could be a big thing also. Yeah, you can have a 95% farrow rate, but you missed your farrow target, really is not helping you either. That's not helping you in anything.
Yes. Yep, that's the point.
Kareem, when we have a fail on nutrition in our reproductive system, gilt sows, what's most typical in your experience?
I think one of the biggest factors here still is that we have room for improvements is still body condition management of those females. typically we still have several systems that we still see overweight sows or fat females, and we know of the negative impact that we have on having a fat herd, not only from economic standpoint, from a feed cost, but also we know that that has a negative impact in that reproductive performance that we also need to take into account. So if we have an overweight female at farrowing, it's very clear that we're going to have lower lactation feed intake, increased body weight losses, lower milk production or milk yield and colostrum yield, and heavier stillbirth rate. And so, and that can cascade and have a negative impact in that subsequent reproductive performance and also in the longevity or retention in the herd. So I think from a nutritional perspective, one of the main areas of opportunities that I still see is the body condition management and feeding those females throughout gestation according to their body condition.
And that is a hard, hard fix. When you have a herd that is overconditioned, it is hard. You don't starve an animal to make her lose condition. That's nonsense. She loses that condition in lactation. You got to work her back. It's a long process. I'm a firm believer in the caliper tool. Why? Because it takes out of our assumptions. It's not what I think. It's not what you think. This is what the science is telling us. It's a tool. It is consistent. We use that to work on that condition. And the other thing is very important, and I get a lot from our nutritionists about it, is what is your box setting really reading? It could say there's 3 pounds in there, there's 4 pounds in there. What is the true weight of that? You know, mm-hmm. Are the boxes a little bit tilted? You know, are they getting whatever that is? But the process of fixing a heavy herd, it is tough. And yes, a heavy herd has less total born, less lactation performance, more late weaners. They don't need to eat in lactation. They come out pretty poor. They don't come in heat. It's just a very, very big production factor condition on a herd. It has to be right. And to fix a condition on a sow unit, it is a long process.
And we cannot forget that also it's expensive, right? Because we were using a lot of feed or more feed, right? To feed those animals to do not get a better outcome, right? And it is expensive and inefficient.
It's super expensive. Yeah, you feed an animal 4 or 5 more pounds a day than she needs to, and then she underperforms. It just makes a big hole in your system.
Yeah. Cost you on both ends. Questions for each other.
I have a question for Jose. You and Tosh, you in your system, you every year you want to do better. Every year you want to improve all pretty much all of the KPIs that you are managing. So what is your next challenge when trying to improve your current farrowing rate that you already are in 91, 92s? So what should be the next area in your end to look at?
Well, I think you just opened a can of worms there, Sergio. Are you ready for my answer?
Yeah.
Yes, our system, we are blessed with a 92% fair rate across the systems. We have some 94% fair rates. We have some that are 89. Our goal today is focusing on where we're losing those animals. Not a surprise to the industry, our losses of fair rates are prolapses. If the sow prolapses, she never farrowed. We're losing points there. It is a big issue, but we're looking at it. We're making sure that everything is in place. Our director, Jay Oliver, he wants us to improve. He knows we're at 92, but he says 92 is not good enough. We need to be at 93. We need to find that percentage in our system. So we got to work on the bottom end, find out where we're failing on that on those particular farms, and adjust and plan. We don't take our system to 93% farrowing rate by getting the 95 to 96. We have to get those that are 89 and 90, we got to get those up 0.5%, 1%, 2% to bring the whole system up. So again, it's a strategic observation per farm. We look at our losses and we have to be able to fix what we can control.
Yeah. So in that way, Jose, another question. Sorry about that. What about seasonal infertility or summertime, right? Because sometimes it's part of the problem, right? When we are looking at reproduction efficiency in a year period, right?
Yes, you have to look at seasonal infertility. And again, you have to plan.
Yeah.
It shouldn't be a surprise. You know, whoever tells you, your seasonal infertility is worse or whatever, every system has seasonal infertility. And whoever says they don't, it's probably in Canada or super cold or something. We have seasonal infertility and we know that. So again, we plan. We know every year this week, you know, we're especially where we're at, it's very humid, very hot. We know when that is. So we have to plan accordingly. You know, planning breeding 10, 15% over. No, that's ridiculous. We plan on what history and what records tell us. We know we lose X amount of sows per week in this time period. So we plan for that time period. When do things get better? So we look at our system. Historically, here is when things get better. If it's 5% or 3% that we're breeding over, this is when we stop it. We don't just always do it. So we just look at it different, but we know it's coming. I mean, it happens every year.
Thank you.
I have a question for both of you, Sergio and Jose. You mentioned multiple times about the performance of those females that are rebred or those returns or abortion that you end up rebreeding. So what should we expect of the reproductive performance of those females? And also, what is your approach to decide whether to rebreed those females that had those reproductive failures before or not, given an economic standpoint?
Thank you, Karine. From my end, I think that the first thing that we need to look at is out of 100 sows bred, how many opportunity females we are breeding every week. So we need to know out of 300 matings, how many opportunity females and what is that percentage out of the total matings. We need to get better controlling that percentage because it's not the total number of matings, it's the quality of the animal bred that we were talking about. So if that percentage is more than 8%, it's going to be difficult to get 90% farrowing rate. First is to control that. Then is all of those animals that they are, we know that they are not the best animal in the farm to be bred, but probably we were forced to breed to accomplish breeding target. Every system, probably they need to look at what is the reproductive outcome based on the previous reproductive event. What is the reproductive outcome on farrowing rate and total bone for leg winners by when to service interval day? What is the one that we bred after one returns, two returns, abortion, and start prioritizing which one we are not going to breed first. Because obviously at the first, during the first 20 weeks period that we try to fix a reproductive efficiency issue, we cannot stop breeding all of the animals that we don't want. We need to still breed in some animals, right? That they are going to be opportunity. Right, they are going to be questionable. So the main goal is to reduce. If the farm start breeding out of the 100% of the mating, is going to breed 15% are opportunity female, let's go to reduce that to 10%, right? And do not breeding the one that they are costing more points of farrowing rate or more money, right? It's a kind of pre-analysis to prioritize which one we are going to breed. And then make a priority based on, you know, how many do we have. As Jose said, we need to plan, right?
PIC Sergio Canavate with Karina Veer, and special thanks to special guest Jose Santiago from Tosh Farms on The Squeal. Whether you're tuning in for the first time or you're a longtime listener, take a second to subscribe to The Squeal. It's the easiest way to stay up to date with the latest podcast episodes. Just find the subscribe or follow button wherever you listen to podcasts. Already a subscriber? Visit your phone settings and turn notifications on so you never miss an episode. For PIC, international leader of continuous genetic improvement in swine breeding stock and in world-class technical support to the global pork supply chain, I'm Ned Arthur. Thanks for joining us.